Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
Live from America's finest city, it's the John Contreras Show.
Oh, doctor!
Now, here's the coach, John Cantara, on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, as we dive into the 1 o'clock hour on a Thursday, thanks so much for joining the program. I want to remind everyone, all guests on the John Contreras Show come via the SDCCU Fan Hotline. SDCCU remains open, rest assured. Funds are federally insured by the NCUA. For details or to find a branch open near you, visit SDCCU.com. Thanks again to Bill Walton for joining us on the program. And when you interview Bill Walton, and I've done it many a time over the years, you just ask a question and you let him run with it. And Bill is a fantastic guy, absolutely fantastic guy. I can't tell you how many times I've enjoyed hearing him on his broadcast and doing charity work around the town and running into him. And his brother was a great guy, Bruce Walton, who played at UCLA, was an All-American there, played with the Dallas Cowboys, later became a radio executive. Bruce passed away late in 2019, but he was a great guy as well. And we thank Bill Walton for joining us on the program. Hey, just a reminder, tomorrow, 10 a.m., we got our virtual game of the week presented by Bud Light Seltzer. Tomorrow's matchup, it'll be Arizona sending left-hander Madison Bumgarner to the hill against young Padre right-hander Denelson Lamet. Again, that's going to be on our Facebook page bright and early tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. and Facebook at 97.3 The Fan. So there you have it. Coming up at the bottom of the hour at 1:35, we're going to talk with Kyle Glazer from Baseball America. And I think you're going to find this interview to be very interesting and telling, because Kyle has written an article about the Dodgers and how they do things down in the minor leagues, and the money that they spend on their coaches, their staff down there, as well as the things that they've put in place to make their ball players better, the weight training, the conditioning, the nutrition. And we'll talk with Kyle Glazer coming up at 1:35. Also want to get to phone calls today on the program. If you got any comments about that interview with Bill Walton, love to hear from you. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. But right now, let's get to today's Coach's Corner.
Coach Cantara breaks down the biggest stories in the world of sports right now.
That was the adult in the gym.
In the Coach's Corner on 97.3 The Fan. Number one.
All right, Coach, let's get to today's Coach's Corner. Some good news for the NBA players. NBA players will receive their full checks when the next payday for most of them arrives on April 15th, even though no games will have been played for more than a month at that point. The NBA gave teams a directive on Thursday in a memo that was obtained by ESPN. The league and National Basketball Players Association have been in talks for weeks about the status of salaries during the NBA shutdown. The last games were played March 11th, the day that Utah Jazz center Rudy Gobert became the first NBA player to test positive for the coronavirus. The pandemic will lead to the delay of at least 259 regular season games through April 15th. which would have been the end of the regular season. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver said earlier this week that no decisions about the rest of the season, including whether play can resume, would occur before May. So the NBA players will get their full paychecks on April 15th.
Yeah, good for the NBA players. Maybe the LA Rams ought to take stock of what the NBA's doing and pay Clay Matthews and Todd Gurley their final checks.
Number two.
I'm glad you brought that up. That was number two on the list. Former Los Angeles Rams players Todd Gurley and Clay Matthews have tweeted that the team is behind on delivering paychecks. At the Rams NFL, past due, send me money ASAP, Gurley wrote in a tweet on Wednesday. Matthews retweeted Gurley, adding, "You and me both, TG, better get some interest with that, too." The Rams released Gurley and Matthews on March 19th. Gurley signed a one-year, $5.5 million contract with the Falcons on Monday. Matthews remains an unrestricted free agent. Rams believe they're in full compliance with the language in the players' contracts, a source told ESPN. The team declined to comment, so Clay Matthews and Todd Gurley want their money, and the Rams don't seem to have it.
Well, they're probably being a check cut as we speak right now. The Rams don't want this to get out there any more than it's already out there. They want this story to go away and go away quickly.
At least go away before Hard Knocks pumps around.
Number three.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers have parted ways with Jameis Winston, remains unsigned as a free agent, but general manager Jason Licht believes the quarterback still has a bright future in the National Football League. Licht was asked during the pre-draft news conference Thursday if he believes the Heisman Trophy winner, whom Licht selected first overall in the 2015 NFL draft, was a hit or a miss. "We have a lot of respect for Jameis. Jameis was still part of our plan if things went a different route," Licht said. "We've got a lot of respect for him. I thought he did a lot of great things, and anybody in our office or building would say the same thing. He did some spectacular things for us. I would never say that personally, and I think I speak on behalf of the organization that he's... he would never say that he is a bust. I think he's got a bright future ahead of him." So that's the general manager talking about his first-round draft pick he had a couple years ago. Obviously, he probably doesn't want to say he's a bust. That means admitting to himself of making a mistake.
Well, I don't think he is a bust. I mean, I know he threw the 30 interceptions last year. He also threw 33 touchdowns. He also led all of professional football in yardage last year. I mean, he's still only 26 years of age. And Braden, I'll be honest with you, and you kind of know how I feel on this. If I was a general manager and I needed to bring in a quarterback right now, I would probably lean towards Jameis Winston before I'd take Cam Newton. Cam Newton's 31 and coming off a variety of different injuries, and he's never been the most accurate passer in the world. I'd go with Jameis Winston.
Number four.
I'd still take Cam Newton. New England Patriots wide receiver Julian Edelman will not be prosecuted after being cited by police for a misdemeanor vandalism in January, according to the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office. Edelman had been arrested January 11th in Beverly Hills, 1 week after the Patriots' season ended in a wild card round loss to the Tennessee Titans. 33-year-old jumped on the hood of a vehicle at approximately 9 p.m., causing damage, according to police. The owner of the vehicle told the district attorney's office that he has fully compensated for the repairs cost of the vehicle per an official filing. The owner of the vehicle has informed the DA's office that he does not want to the arrestee to be prosecuted for the proposed vandalism charges. The arrestee has no known criminal history. Case filing declined in the interest of the justice. So Julian Edelman pays for the damages, and they're not pressing charges.
Yeah, the two things I'm sure that were involved in that, I have to believe alcohol and definitely money exchanged hands on that one.
Number five.
Stephon Diggs hasn't played a down for the Buffalo Bills, but that hasn't stopped the Buffalo fan base from embracing the team's newest wide receiver. Local restaurants included burger joint Stack Burger introduced its crazy creation yet on Facebook last week, a four-patty burger named Can You Diggs It? After the Bills' wide receiver. Sandwiched between two buns are the restaurant's signature bacon blue patty, topped with crumbled blue cheese, thick-cut bacon, cheese, and creamy blue cheese spread. Demon Patty, a demon spice burger with jalapenos, banana peppers, cheese, and garlic parmesan mayo. A Vinny Patty, a mozzarella cheese, pepperoni, and cherry pepper bruschetta, and topped Rodeo Patty with onion rings, cheese, and house Loganberry brown barbecue sauce. If you want to see what it looks like, wow, it's on ESPN.com. So again, all of those ingredients I listed are all into the patty, so it shouldn't be as messy, but all four of those patties on top of each other. Can you digs it? That sounds like something, a nice little creation. Maybe if you're in the Buffalo area and you want some takeout, it might be something to look into.
Yeah, that's interesting. Hadn't even played it down there. They're naming a sandwich after him. That'd be a great honor to have a sandwich named for you. I mean, I know we've had some guys around town named sandwiches after certain people, but I'd take that as a great honor if a restaurant did that for me.
I would take that as a huge honor if a restaurant did that for me at any point in my career, let alone the fact that a restaurant did it for a town that I haven't even played it down for yet, but they already just are assuming I'm going to be fantastic. I wonder how many other burgers they have named after Buffalo Bills players, because if Stephon Diggs is one of a select few and he hasn't even played there yet, that's truly remarkable.
Well, maybe we ought to go online, check out that restaurant, and maybe if they've got more than one ball player a sandwich named after, maybe we got to get them on the show and talk about what qualifies to get a sandwich named in your honor.
I'll look up the menu, see if they have any other ones. I'll do that during the break.
This one is over.
That was the Coach's Corner.
Yes, indeed.
On 97.3, The Fan.
Okay, good. Yeah, that story on the Rams, Braden, I thought that was kind of odd, because normally, you know, the capologists are always on top of that. They know all the dates and when you got to, you know, send out this bonus or when this contract is up. And that's a little bit odd. And I think it's really odd because both those guys are now former Rams.
Yeah, it's very strange. Obviously, a case in point where not a lot of people are working right now, and you'd like to get as much money as you possibly can. But, yeah, I found that story to be very weird. I think it'd be fun. It would have been funnier if Todd Gurley said your rent is due, since all the Rams fans say that to the limited Charger fans that are out there. That'd be kind of an ironic joke. But needless to say, Todd Gurley and Clay Matthews want some money, and they don't have it directly deposited to them or have the checks. I find that weird that, you know, NFL players – are not getting their checks on time. That's odd to me.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of things are odd to me these days, and a lot of odd stuff going on in the LA football world up there. But with that, you know, the concerns about whether or not the new stadium's going to be done in time. You know, what are the Chargers going to do? Are they going to end up back in Carson, or the Rams going to end up back at the Coliseum? I mean, there's a lot of things going on right now, but neither of those teams have any momentum going into this next season whatsoever, I don't think. You know, even though the Rams finished at 9-7, you know, they finished third in the division, I still don't see a lot of momentum with that football team right now. I see them going in reverse.
I see them going backwards. Again, we'll see what the draft looks like. But I don't, they have a lot of guys that left, and I know some of them are older, but they have a lot of pieces they got to fill. You don't know what you're going to get out of Jared Goff, as a quarterback, and you paid him a lot of money. There's a lot of guys, that are, you know, that were big parts of the team that they needed for the Super Bowl 2 years ago that are now not part of that team. They're going to have a pretty big draft here in order to maybe salvage their season for 2020, because I don't think the Rams are going to be in a position, especially in the division that they play in and probably the schedule they're going to get. I don't see them in a situation where they're going to have over a 500 record. Now, granted, the playoffs are expanded, so maybe they can sneak in one more wild card spot with a 9-7 record, but to me, I don't see the Rams going above 500. And I can honestly say the same for the Chargers. I know their defense is going to be really good, and they have some weapons, but going from Phillip Rivers to Tyrod Taylor, I don't understand how that's going to be a winning cause for the Chargers as well. I mean, this is the one time, I think, going into a year that the Chargers have a little bit more momentum in terms of being better than the Rams in terms of you know, talent on the field and expectations, but it's still not going to do enough to, you know, surpass the Rams at any point or try to get more fans in the stands, especially with the coronavirus. I mean, who knows? First of all, we don't even know if that stadium's going to be open yet. Second of all, what's going to happen with all their PSLs that they're trying to sell? That's an interesting conversation. I guarantee you they're not getting any new phone calls about PSLs right now. And as expensive as NFL games are, I mean, the Chargers and the Rams need those tickets to be expensive so they could pay off that stadium, and I just don't see that happening. As hard as it was for the Chargers to fill a stadium the last 3 years, how much more difficult is it going to be in 2020 when you have a lot of people that probably can't afford to games and people that don't want to go to games for a couple months? You know, we've seen the statistics of the surveys. It might be a desolate stadium, and honestly, it might be better for the Chargers to continue to play in that soccer stadium than move into the new one if the new one is actually open.
That's not a bad idea. You know, I threw that question out there on Monday, Braden, you know, about, you know, what, you know, when are people going to decide, do they want to go back or not go back? And tell you what, that question has kind of run rampant all week, and everybody's got a variety of different thought processes on it. But again, when the time comes, people are going to have to make that decision, either go or don't go. And the one advice I could give to any organization in any sport right now, and I'll give this free advice, is stay in contact with your fans. I don't care how you do it, Facebook, Twitter, emails. Stay engaged with your fans. Don't leave your fans out there hanging. Do some fun things, you know, to win tickets or win, you know, a jersey or a sweatshirt. But stay engaged with your fan base right now. Don't disappear. Don't ghost your fan base right now. You got to definitely stay engaged. And, again, you know, Braden, it was like I was talking last week on the program, you know, radio advertising, television advertising, you know, a lot of people, when things like this pandemic have hit, you know, I realize some budgets are tighter than others, but some people could continue to advertise and they get a little scared and they don't want to advertise. Well, if you go back and look at history of all the ups and downs economy wise and different things that have happened in our lifetime and even prior to our lifetime, the people that have advertised and they've stayed out there, they've stayed engaged with the consumer, they're normally the ones that have come out smelling like a rose. And the people that took their ball and went home and didn't play, they're the ones that went by the wayside. So, you know, you got to be engaged with your fan base, the way I look at it right now. So if you're, you know, whether you're the Strike Force or the Gulls or the Sockers or the Padre, you got to stay involved. You got to let people know what you're doing and let them know that you care about them. And, you know, that's why, you know, we had Bill Walton on today talking about Bike for Humanity. I mean, he's out there waving the flag for a variety of different organizations right now, and that's the way you do it. And believe me, whether it's on radio or television, a lot of people are looking for airtime right now to fill their programming. And so if you got a great charity, you know, and whatever it is, to raise awareness of what's going on right now and how to help people, then you probably could call a television station and probably get on and be able to pump your charity event coming up. Okay, with that, we're going to take a quick time out. We'll come back. We'll get to phone calls, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Also, when we come back, Mel Kiper and Todd McShay's all-draft team for 2020. I'll share that with you as the John Quintero Show rolls on to 3 o'clock right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. .125 on a Thursday. Hope everyone doing well out there. We got from Baseball America, Kyle Glazer coming up. We're going to talk to him about the Dodgers. Why are the Dodgers doing so well bringing guys up from the minor leagues? What are they doing different than other organizations? We're going to find out here shortly from Kyle Glazer, again from Baseball America. Also want to remind you to stay connected with your friends here at 97.3 The Fan while we keep social distance by joining us for a live video session on Twitter at 97.3 The Fan SD. Ben and Woods, they do theirs on Monday after their show at 9:15. I do mine on Wednesdays at 11:15. And Gwen and Chris, tomorrow, Friday, 2:15. So we all can stay connected right here at 97.3 The Fan. Hey, just a quick programming note. Tonight, I'm going to be on the Padres Social Hour with Jesse Agler. So if you tune in at 5:30 on the Padres Social Hour, that's on the internet. You can go to Padres.com, and I think it's over on the left side of the margin. You can click on that, and you can watch the program. So I'll look forward to being on the Padres Social Hour, and I thank them for asking me today. Okay, we got a few minutes before we get to the bottom of the hour. We're going to talk a little bit about Mel Kiper and Todd McShay's all-draft team for 2020. And, Braden, these guys, each drafted players, they just kind of went back and forth. One guy got the first pick, second pick, and they just kind of went back and forth and came up with a pretty good team.
Yeah, they both came up with their own individual team. So what happened was ESPN NFL draft experts Mel Kiper Jr. and Todd McShay went head-to-head in drafting their own 2020 All-Prospect Super Teams. They took to ESPN's First Draft podcast to go 22 rounds against each other, alternating picks to fill out their lineups with prospects set to be taken by NFL teams later this month. Each roster is made up of 11 starters on both offense and defense. Kiper and McShay were allowed to draft positions in any order, and they designed their units around schemes of their own choosing. How did each team turn out? Who has the edge? Well, let's take a look at it. Just a couple of the first couple picks here. Mel Kiper Jr. went first, and then Todd McShay drafted. Mel Kiper Jr. took Joe Burrow. Todd McShay took Chase Young. No surprise there. Those probably might be the two top picks in the 2020 NFL draft anyway. Isaiah Simmons from Clemson gets picked number third. Tua Tagovailoa gets picked fourth by Todd McShay. Jeff Okudah, cornerback from Ohio State, gets fifth. Derek Brown, the sixth pick. Mekhi Becton from Louisville, the seventh pick. Jerry Jeudy, the eighth pick. Jarek Wills Jr., the offensive tackle from Alabama, is the ninth pick. And Todd McShay, or his tenth pick, took Tristan Wirf. So that's like the top ten picks that were listed. They're put together some pretty good teams. If you compare the teams in terms of quarterbacks, Kiper has Joe Burrow, McShay has Tua Tagovailoa. I'd probably give the edge to Joe Burrow and Mel Kiper's team there. J.K. Dobbins for Mel Kiper at running back. McShay goes with DeAndre Swift. So far with quarterback and running back, who do you think has an edge?
I kind of like J.K. Dobbins myself, and I know he went 25th overall on Kiper's team. I like him. DeAndre Swift's a great player, though, but kind of like Dobbins.
I like Dobbins, too. I watched Dobbins live when they played TCU at Cowboy Stadium. Dobbins is a stud, and I think he's kind of an unsung hero in terms of the success that Ohio State has. Sure, everyone's talking about Dwayne Haskins and the quarterback play that Ohio State has had over the last couple of years, but I thought J.K. Dobbins was a big factor and a big reason why Ohio State won the games that they won. In terms of receiving core, T. Higgins, Justin Jefferson, and Denzel Mims for Mel Kiper, Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, Henry Ruggs III for Todd McShay. I prefer to go with Todd McShay's receiving core at this. He loaded up on it. He took his receivers 8th, 12th, and 14th. Kiper saved his receivers for later, 21st, 23rd, and 39th pick.
Yeah, it looks like Kiper's guys are going to do a lot of stock blocking on the perimeter. The guys for McShay's team are going to be running by defensive backs and safeties for touchdowns.
That's amazing. You have Joe Burrow, and then you have three wideouts. You don't load up on wideout, but you load up on your running game. Tua Tagovailoa's got a lot of weapons with Todd McShay's team, with Jeudy, Lamb, and Ruggs III. Tight end slash receiver four, Cole Kmet goes to Mel Kiper's team. Brandon Ayuk goes to Todd McShay. Offensive line. They got Mekhi Becton, Robert Hunt, Cesar Ruiz, Ezra Cleveland, Jedrick Wills Jr. for Team Kiper. For Team McShay, Andrew Thomas, Josh Jones, Lloyd Cushenberry III, Tyler Beatis, and Tristan Wirfs are the two offensive lines groups there for Kiper and McShay. Defensive lines, we got Marlon Davidson, Javon Kinlaw, Justin Matabuk, and Clevon Chasen. Those are all for Mel Kiper's team. Todd McShay loads up on Chase Young, Derek Brown, Ross Blacklock, and AJ Epenza. I really like Todd McShay's defensive line compared to Mel Kiper's defensive line.
Well, you and I saw Pensa play in the Holiday Bowl for Iowa, and he had a marvelous game. And most people felt that night, Braden, when you and I were sitting there watching the game, they figured he was going to come out a year early. And, you know, he's probably going to be either a late first or early second round draft pick. He's a pretty good football player. Tough.
Yeah, he's a tough football player. He's got Derek Brown, who's a sixth pick, Chase Young, too. I really like Ross Blacklock, too. I mean, obviously, I watched him play firsthand while I was at TCU. He's a really good defensive lineman, and the Horned Frogs do a really good job producing defensive linemen. So I've been going kind of back and forth here with Kiper and McShay's team. So I voted for quarterback for Kiper, running back Kiper, receiving core for McShay, offensive line McShay, and defensive line for McShay. Let's get to the linebacking core. Isaiah Simmons, Kenneth Murray, Jordan Brooks for Mel Kiper. And then Yuter Gross-Matos, Patrick Queen, and Zach Bond for Team McShay. I'm going to have to go probably back with Mel Kiper's team in terms of the linebacking core.
Yeah, well, Isaiah Simmons, a difference maker, and he took him with the third pick. So, you know, I got to go with his linebacking core. The secondary, I'm anxious to see what you think about this secondary, because there's some really talented guys in both these secondaries.
Jeff Okudah, C.J. Henderson, Antoine Winfield Jr., Kyle Duggar from Mel Kiper's team, Trefon Diggs, Jalen Johnson, Xavier McKinney, and Grant Delpit for Team Todd McShay. I like Mel Kiper's secondary a little bit more than I like McShay's secondary. Granted, Mel Kiper loaded up on his defensive backs earlier on in his draft compared to Todd McShay, who picked him a little bit later. But so far, we're going back and forth on a lot of positions, but I'm going to go with Kiper's secondary.
The secondary of Todd McShay, I think, is pretty good, but I think the secondary of Mel Kiper could be absolutely outstanding. And Jeff Okuda, who was all Big Ten last couple of years, and I'm sure he made All-American teams, he may go third overall in this draft. I mean, it may be Burrow, Chase Young, and it may be Jeff Okuda. I mean, he may be headed to Detroit now that they've lost Darius Slay. Okuda's a hell of a football player. He just makes plays, but I like Kiper's secondary better, but I do think McShay's secondary is pretty good. So good stuff there, Braden. That was a lot of fun to go through that. And again, we're going to be talking a lot more draft as we work our way towards April 23rd. We're going to get to the bottom of the hour, a little past the bottom of the hour right now. We're going to bring on Kyle Glazer from Baseball America. But first, 97.3 The Fan is helping San Diego stay connected. Here's your latest news update from our friends at Radio.com. This hour of the John Quintero Show is brought to you by Smart Investing. Has the stock market got you up at night? Tune in to the Smart Investing Show Saturday mornings at 9, right here on 97.3 The Fan. Brent Wilsey with Wilsey Asset Management has been managing money for 40 years. And if you want an answer on how to invest, make sure to tune in. Again, that'll be this Saturday at 9 a.m. right here on 97.3 The Fan. Okay, we're going to get to our guest here momentarily, Kyle Glazer from Baseball America. But we've got Bench the Coach coming up, an opportunity for one of you listeners out there to take me down and win a family four-pack of sandwiches from Jersey Mike's. And, Braden, what is the direction we're going today?
We're going with the last 10 cities to host the Major League Baseball All-Star Game.
Okay, very good. Last 10 cities to host the Major League All-Star Game. Okay, if you want to get in the rotation and have an opportunity, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. We head out to our SDCCU fan hotline. We're joined by our friend from Baseball America, Kyle Glazer. Kyle, I hope you and the family are doing well, and you're obviously still doing some quality work. Love this article on the Los Angeles Dodgers organization.
Thanks, John. Yeah, it was fun. I was able to get out to Arizona before everything shut down and really dive deep into the Dodgers and what makes their player development apparatus really tick. And it was a great experience for me, too, kind of getting to peel behind the curtain and see how the magic happens.
You know, Kyle, about 3 years ago, I went up to Lake Elsinore, and they were playing the Dodgers that night. And I got up there at about 3 o'clock, and I wanted to watch all the pregame activity. And I'll be honest with you, I've been around baseball, you know, my entire adult life and going to the ballpark since I was a young boy. And, you know, a lot of times you go to those minor league facilities, you never know what you're going to get. Guys, they're going to be hitting on the field. They're going to be taking ground balls. Or are they not going to hit today? You know, it's a little hot. It's late in the year. And I got to be honest, I watched that Dodger ball club that night in pregame. And I don't know if I've ever seen a minor league organization run, or a major league organization run, a strict, definite workout, prepared lineup before a ball game, from, you know, just different drills and guys throwing bullpens, guys running, guys playing long toss, and just doing a lot of quality work that over a period of time really adds up to making you a better baseball player.
Yeah, the Dodgers, what really separates them, look, they have a lot of money. They draft and scout really, really well. You can't ignore those factors. But what really helps separate them and get the most from the players they bring into their organization is they really focus on the little things well. I talked to so many guys who are now big league standouts who came up through the minors, and what they talked about is when they're in low A, they're going through the exact same routines the major leaguers go through in terms of the scouting reports they're receiving, the formats that they receive it in, the information they have to kind of take in, the workouts, once their bullpens, their batting practices, so that once they get to the majors, they're just kind of stepping right in. You know, one of the key features of the Dodgers in recent years is how often the rookies seem to come up and make an immediate impact. They don't have those ups and downs other clubs have. When I talk to the players about it, they kept citing that when they got to the majors, everything was easy because they've been doing it for 2, 3, 4 years. So many clubs, when guys walk into the majors, not only do they have to deal with more difficult, you know, pitchers they're trying to hit against. I mean, you know, playing in the major leagues is hard enough, but they're trying to learn new batting practice routines, new pregame routines, dealing with new coaches who don't know them, new strength and conditioning pregame routines. I mean, the Dodgers let one step in and let their talent play because they take care of all that at the lower levels. It's a little thing, but it adds up to a lot more comfort where it really counts in the majors.
Kyle, and we're visiting with Kyle Glazer, Baseball America. You know, this guy probably, I don't know if his name ever came up when you were over there talking, but, you know, Gabe Kapler, who was a workout warrior, he was in charge of the Dodger minor leagues before he left the organization and spent the 2 years in Philadelphia, now the San Francisco Giant manager. But when he came in there, I mean, he put some things in place. I mean, as far as, you know, he's really into weight training, very much into nutrition. And the Dodger minor leaguers eat better than anybody in baseball down at the minor league level.
Yeah, talking to front office officials with the Dodgers, that was Gabe Kapler's kind of biggest contribution and how he changed how minor leaguers are treated and how they eat. You know, when you're trying to raise professional athletes, they need the right food. I remember being in a different team's minor league clubhouse once, and there was a piece of paper posted to the wall of how to eat healthy at a gas station. You know, get the granola bar instead of the Snickers bar. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, these are professional athletes. You should be talking about fruits and vegetables and proteins. And the Dodgers, I mean, it was kind of the market inefficiency to kind of, you know, attack a little bit here. Hey, if we are taking these young, in some cases 17, 18, 19-year-olds who are still developing and give them better food, they're going to get bigger, they're going to get stronger, they're going to be in better shape. And we've seen that. That really started under Gabe Kapler. The Dodgers have really accelerated that, where a lot of teams are still giving their minor leaguers peanut butter and jellies or sandwiches with turkey meat of questionable quality. You know, the Dodgers have full-time chefs traveling with them every level, from rookie-level Ogden through Double-A Tulsa. Their other affiliates are getting food from places like Whole Foods. And I talked to a scout who has Dodgers coverage. He says, yeah, when you see the Dodgers, they're just in better shape than everyone else. And that makes a big difference. They're physically just a step ahead of everybody. And that comes from the fact that they're actually feeding their minor leaguers good food as opposed to letting them have the leftovers.
Hey, Kyle, do you have any idea how much they spend on food in the minor leagues? And if a ball club, say the Padres, wanted to follow kind of, lockstep with the Dodgers, I mean, how much more money would it cost an organization to do what the Dodgers are doing right now?
I don't have an exact figure for you, for obvious reasons. Most clubs are pretty guarded about exact expense amounts. But look, it's not cheap. And the fact that the Dodgers are one of baseball's largest market franchises, the fact they bring in $334 million annually on average in their television contract allows for them to pay more money in a lot of different areas than other teams are able to, including the Padres. So, I mean, this is a significant expense, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe a million, just in terms of, you know, providing traveling chefs. You're now feeding 200, 225 minor leaguers, you know, three meals a day for 6 to 7 months out of the year, high quality food. That's not cheap. It is a significant expense. But when you look at what you get out of it, it's well worth it. And we've started to see teams realize, hey, if we don't keep our minor leaguers food and shelter insecure, we're going to get better results from them. A couple teams are starting to wise up to that. We saw the Giants, Blue Jays, and Cubs say they're going to pay their minor leaguers more. The Dodgers really take care of their guys, and they're going to reap the rewards from it. I think the extra couple hundred thousand or $1 million a year is well worth it in terms of what you get back out.
Kyle Glazer, Baseball America, joining us here on 97.3 The Fan, our SDCCU fan hotline. I was talking to a ball player last night. He's in the minor leagues over in Arizona, you know, sequestered right now and trying to stay in shape. And, you know, I said, hey, congratulations. You're going to get $400 a week right now. And, hey, that's a lot of money to these minor leaguers down in low A or high A ball. $400, that's not too bad right now because, let's face it, during the regular season, they make about $1,200 a month.
Yeah, so for players at the lowest levels of the minor leagues, A ball and the short season levels, they get $290 a week. Now they're getting $400 a week. So they're doing better than they otherwise normally would. But on the flip side, the guys at AAA typically make more than that. They're making less. So, it's good for some, less good for others. But it was good to see Major League Baseball step up and say, hey, we're going to make sure, you know, our minor leaguers have something. They very easily could have said, hey, not our problem. You know, we're just major leaguers. We don't care about the minor leaguers, as Major League Baseball has done for the most part. throughout its history. I do want to give Major League Baseball credit. We criticized them a lot for a lot of things, but they did the right thing here, ensuring that the minor league players will have something in their pockets, at least through the early months of this pandemic.
Hey, what's your take? And I don't think it's going to come to this, but what was your thought earlier in the week when they were talking about taking all 30 teams down to Arizona and try to get the season started?
Yeah, so I mean, I think that the first initial thought is it's going to be very, very difficult to pull off. I've talked to some players about this, some coaches about this, and we talked about this even before this report came out about could you do something like this, have all 30 teams in one place. It's just very, very difficult to really keep track of, you know, 30 players per team, with extra roster spots, plus all the personnel for 30 teams, and really, truly keep them sequestered, quarantined, and know exactly where they're all going. But by the same token, give Major League Baseball credit. They're aggressively seeking solutions. They're trying to find ways to get players back on the field. Best case scenario, based on everyone I've talked to, would be report for some sort of organized team activities in mid-May. Season gets going June 1st or so. Again, there's a lot of hurdles to clear. There's a lot of skepticism that this will actually happen. But I do think it's good to see Major League Baseball and the Players Association and really everyone involved trying to find ways to make baseball happen this year. That's something that would benefit the game economically and the fans generally.
Final question, Kyle. I'm looking at where we're at right now, and they're talking about the baseball draft about being five rounds this year. Obviously it's difficult for the scouts. They've got to go on what they saw at the end of last year, what they saw in the few games this year. Do you think Major League Baseball is going to hold the draft in June? They're going to move it to July. How they're going to handle it? Do you think they're going to stick to only five rounds?
A lot of that is going to depend on when the season can actually get started. If the season is able to get underway May, June, and there's some money coming in, and teams feel like they're, you know, in a better position generally, I think we could see a 10-round draft, and maybe it takes place mid to late June. If we're still into, you know, July 1st and games are still not being played and there's still no plan for players to get back on the field, then we're going to probably see something more like a 5-round draft, so owners don't have to spend as much money on signing bonuses. And also the draft would probably take place after that. But again, you know, like so much, everything is dependent on factors outside of baseball's control and when baseball can get back on the field or not. The draft is kind of a secondary concern. And whenever the games are resumed, that's when we're going to find out when the draft is. The later games start, the later the draft is going to be most likely at this point.
Kyle, as always, thanks for the time. Stay healthy, and we really enjoyed that article. It's a great article, and I want to encourage everyone to go online to baseballamerica.com, check it out. Great article, Kyle Glazer, talking about how the Dodgers do it and why their guys come up from the minor leagues and flourish. Kyle, have a great day, and hope to see you at a ballpark here in the not-too-distant future.
Me too, John. Thank you for the kind words, and stay safe out there.
There you go, Kyle Glazer, Baseball America, joining us on our SDCCU fan hotline. Just a reminder, SDCCU remains open. Rest assured, your funds are federally insured by the NCUA. And for details, to find a branch open near you, just go to their website at sdccu.com. With that, we're going to get to today's Bench the Coach.
It's time to test your San Diego sports knowledge and see if you have what it takes to try and bench the coach on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Coach, playing today is Matt La Mesa. Matt, what's going on?
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Matt, good luck, and thanks for tuning in. Really appreciate it.
Anytime, Coach.
All right, in order to win the sandwiches today, Matt, I want to know if you can tell me the cities that the All-Star Game was in the last 10 years. If you can give me one correct, you will get a point. If Coach gets one correct, he gets a point. Back and forth we go. First 1-3 will win the contest. So, Matt, give me an All-Star Game host city of the last 10 years.
It'd be San Diego. That was a great game.
That was a great game, and San Diego is, in fact, one of the names on the list. On to you, Coach.
Yeah, I would go Anaheim, the Angels.
You barely get Anaheim in. It was 10 years ago Anaheim hosted in 2010.
I was at that game, and I actually went to the Futures game as well.
Oh, it was a hell of a, that was a hell of an All-Star game as well. Matt, back to you.
How about Chicago?
Incorrect. Good guess, though. On to you, Coach.
I will say Yankee Stadium.
Not Yankee Stadium. If you would have given me correct city, maybe.
Okay.
But Yankee Stadium hosted in 09.
Okay, I was a little bit off. Sorry.
On to you, Matt.
How about St. Louis?
Incorrect. Coach.
Okay, let's see.
Anybody remember where it was last year?
Not really. let's see here.
You're about to get buzzed.
I'm going to say San Francisco.
No, that was like 08. Matt.
I think we're going to struggle on this.
You're struggling.
One.
Matt, back to you.
Oh, Miami.
Miami, the year after the Padres hosted in 2017. That's correct. Coach, back to you.
Okay. I got to go back to the American League. I'm going to go Cleveland.
That is correct. Cleveland was last year. I'm glad we finally figured out who hosted the All-Star game last year. 2-2,
well,
Matt.
World found an acorn.
Right. 2-2, Matt. If you give me one more correct, you will win. I'll even give you a hint. One, two, three of them are four of them are National League cities, and four of them are American League cities. Didn't really help too much. But.
Okay. God, I'm blanking. My mind's blanking on cities right now.
Didn't answer.
Seattle.
No, it was early 2000s. Coach, give me one so we can end this.
I'm gonna go Houston.
Nope. Try again. Matt, I'll give you one last shot. I'll give you a hint. They hosted the World Series last year. They won the World Series last year. They hosted the All-Star game in 2018.
Hold on here. Wait, I know this one.
Who just won the World Series?
Oh, my gosh.
We're running out of time, brother.
I am drawing a blank. I'm sorry.
The answer I was looking for there was the Washington, D.C. hosted in 2018.
The Washington Nationals.
Yeah, there you go.
Washington Nationals.
Matt, you're so close, unfortunately.
All right, hey, tough one.
Tough one today.
Yeah. That's okay. I enjoy listening to you guys.
Hey,
your
we appreciate you tuning in.
And thanks for letting me play.
Thank you very much.
I'll have the answers.
I appreciate that. We'll get to the bottom of the hour here. We got a lot to get done still on the program. We're at the top of the hour. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the Padres and can they emulate the Los Angeles Dodgers. This is the John Contreras Show on 97.3 The Fan.
Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.